is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another program on Inside Douglas County, capturing things. And boy, we've had so much to talk about lately, so much going on in Douglas County. And we're going to kind of take a couple of different angles on this. Matt Hill with us, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the Rock Creek Fish Hatchery because you were up there yesterday.
I was. I had the honor of heading up with the ODFW crew, rescuing some fish up there. The fire consumed the hatchery. It destroyed all the buildings up there. Somehow, miraculously, about 700 adult fish, spring Chinook and summer steelhead, survived.
Wow. And we have put up a couple of sets of pictures along the way, somewhat up early this morning with our current story. And then we added in on all of our Facebook pages from all of our radio stations, pictures that you took yesterday that kind of told the story of what was going on.
Yeah, so it's a story that hits me close to home. My great-great-grandfather built the first Rock Creek Hatchery in 1920, 100 years ago. And so it's certainly a special place for me and my family, but so many others in this community. So the crew that was up there yesterday were in the pool, netting these spawning fish, getting them into trucks, and safely transporting them down to Coles River Hatchery in Jackson County, where they'll be spawned and hatched, and they will bring those juvenile fish back to the North Umpqua for release. Those fish are genetically tempered for the North Umpqua River, so they'll come back.
Megan Dugan at ODFW telling me about 700 fish got out of there, both the spring Chinook salmon, the summer steelhead, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it was an incredible thing to watch, and those ODFW crew members up there, real heroes, really impressive to see them work in very difficult conditions. It was thick smoke up there. We had a flare-up, a fire start restarted while we were up there. But I also want to thank Commissioner Tom Kress was up there, and Public Works Director Scott Adams, and the county was able to not only get the road cleared in there. Pacific Power got the lines, power lines moved and de-energized. But we had to move a burnt truck to be able to access the pool, and the county brought in a water truck to help put out the fire. So between the county and ODFW, a lot of people doing good up there.
Well, and a lot of people have been really concerned. I mean, even last week, one of the questions that started coming into me, and initially it was a while before somebody could get in and get a picture, maybe from firefighters. I'm not quite sure where the first ones came from. But, I mean, a lot of concern about that facility because of the impact it has on fisheries up the North Umpqua.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I hope that ODFW will put the wheels in motion to rebuild and restructure that facility and make sure that we don't have a loss in that fishery.
Now, you talked about your great-great-great-great-grandfather building the first Rock Creek Hatchery. Was it in the same location?
It was actually right across Rock Creek, down at the juncture of Rock Creek and the North Umpqua, in that little Tioga area. The original superintendent's house still stood. A fellow I spoke to this morning lived there. It also was burned in the fire. Just everything is devastated up there.
And obviously fisheries tie in with timber, just in terms of how they both kind of coexist with each other, and that whole area. I mean, there's a lot of things over the years that changed and evolved about what you did with timber, how close you were to rivers and other bodies of water.
Yeah, the fire is. There's no words to describe how destructive it has been, this one, and I know there are others. You know, it's at about 130,000 acres right now. It's 20% contained. 63,000 of that is private timberland that feeds our mills directly. The ecological impact of this fire is off the charts. Everyone down here has been breathing the air. It's toxic. We have the worst air in the world right now. There is nothing living in large swaths of the burn, nothing. It's just black trees, dirt, and rock. And it doesn't resemble the place I saw 2 weeks ago before the fire. So in terms of timber, let me tell you what's going to happen. The private companies are up there. They helped contain this fire. They built the dozer lines in working with the federal agencies and DFPA, who is out there. There will be salvage work immediately on private lands and getting that wood into mills. But you look statewide, so much timber burned just from the private lands. That's the amount that will be salvaged in the next few months is the equivalent of 3 years of all timber harvest in Oregon. So there will be a flood of logs into those mills. But the federal agencies need to play a role in the mid and long term in replacing that timber volume as we get out several years from this event.
And this at a time when lumber prices are going through the roof.
It's been a roller coaster ride for lumber prices this year between COVID and now hurricanes and all sorts of things. So not that there's ever a good time for something like this, but in terms of lumber prices, this will help stabilize the market a little bit. But it's significant, and there's scores of loggers just trying to get the roads cleared out there, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, and I went talking with Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. He had mentioned along the way, and it's been like a long 9 days of dealing with this, so I don't always remember what day I found something out unless it's part of a story, but talked about, he said it was kind of an unprecedented industry presence at the fires. Of course, you had loggers that couldn't be out logging or doing anything, and so a lot of people jumped in. I don't even want to start mentioning companies because I'll miss some, but there were, from what I understand, a lot of different companies just having their employees up there working because they really couldn't be doing other things anyway.
Absolutely, and I really want to emphasize that point. You know, there are more fire lines that got put in faster on this fire than the other fires in Oregon. And I credit companies, I'll name a few, Rosebrook Forest Products, Seneca, Lone Rock. Companies like that are up there with their equipment and their men and their women, helping the Forest Service and the incident commanders build those lines. And we've got a lot of iron up on that fire. And that's if anything, what's helping make the difference.
What was it like driving up there yesterday? When did things start to look different from you, and sort of take us from that point?
It's hard to put into words. Like I said, it's a special place for me and a lot of people. But right after Idlewild, things start changing pretty quickly. Right when you hit the Rock Creek drainage, and to the extent you can even see things. I mean, the smoke is still pretty heavy up there. But between Rock Creek and Steamboat, what I've seen is 100% mortality. Trees of every size gone. The river's still flowing. It looked okay, but with the rains we're getting now, there's going to be a huge pulse of sediment and ash into that river and those streams, and we hope to be able to monitor some of that. But it's not the North Umpqua I remember, it's going to take us decades to repair it and help it get back on its feet.
Matt Hill is the executive director of Douglas Timber Operators. Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. And more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN, and it's 1248. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk to Dr. Jo Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States. She'll be on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Matt Hill now talking about the fire situation, also the Rock Creek fish hatchery. For timber, and I think There's going to be phases of this, just like there's been phases of everything else this year. It seems like it's the common word that we're using. I mean, right now, it's just deal with the situation, then cleanup begins, and then you start to, at some point, look forward. But for the timber industry and for the landowners and for the agencies, this is going to be a very long-haul situation.
Absolutely. The recovery period is you know, many years at different paces for different landowners, and we understand that. But, you know, for the private timber landowners, you know, they're going to get the wood out quickly, the wood that is salvageable. By preliminary data estimates, I'd say about a third of the private volume killed was very young and just gone. A third of it was medium size, but probably not salvageable. And then a third of it was mature and can get to the mill.
Wow. And so a lot of work there, a lot of expense, all in the middle of COVID-19.
Yeah. I mean, all of this is done with social distancing and PPE and their daily command briefings with space chairs in a very large room so that people can share information, but it requires being in the same room. We've got to have these companies and fire managers and the Forest Service and BLM all looking at the same map, showing where they're building lines, where they need lines, where the fire's growing. In some ways, there's still some old-fashioned teamwork around a table that has to be done.
And throw in what we got added into the mix today is the flash flood watch for later tonight, right in the midst of both the fire areas.
Yes, which in some sense may provide some relief and cool down the fire a bit. On another side, it's going to flush a lot of sediment very quickly and into the rivers and streams. It's kind of like the inversion we've had for the last couple of weeks. It's helped with moderating fire behavior. It's kept winds down, but like I said, we have the worst air in the world. Literally.
And last night when things cleared off for a period of hours, I remember we were at someone's house and they actually opened the blinds to show us their view, which they've got a nice view. And then the group of us just kind of went, wait a second, that's the sky. Because we hadn't seen it for so long. And people were actually giddy at the store after that. People I don't even know. But you could just, people were talking to each other and wow, the sky and all of that. Apparently a lot on social media. But at the same time, when that happened, it also ramped up the fire activity, and we had some areas go back to level 3.
Absolutely. This fire is far from out. It's 20% contained. You're still seeing the flames. There were a couple scares in Idlewild yesterday as well, and they got them out, or the day before. Like I said, the Rock Creek started burning while we were up there, and a little bucket brigade and a county water truck went out and put it out, but it is still dangerous. There's hazard trees everywhere falling. The rain will dislodge rocks that will fall on the road, so I do want to caution people. It is still an extremely hazardous situation throughout the fire area.
And of course, people who have homes and properties have been affected that are up there probably now, up there for the afternoon to survey things and in a lot of cases do some documentation and start their insurance process. And that is historical. The previous, I think mid-80s, Kyle Reed said there was a fire where 20 homes were destroyed. Here we've lost 109.
109 here, plus other structures. I mean, some people didn't lose a home, but they may have lost a shed or a barn or a well or something. So it certainly goes beyond the 109, and then that's compounded with the other fires in Oregon that have actually been more destructive. So it's heartbreaking to see the human toll of this fire.
Yeah, I think one number I saw, and I haven't collaborated exactly if that's accurate, but between all of the southern Oregon fires, not counting the other part of the state, they said 2,300 homes, because you've got so many down in the Rogue Valley.
Yeah, and we're approaching a million acres burned. It's about 800,000 statewide right now.
So what do you do as Douglas timber operators looking ahead? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussions, a lot of meetings, virtual or whatever, to kind of work together on this.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, right now, appreciating our member companies who are assigning pieces of iron and personnel up on the fire, that is priority number one. We have also launched, created a relief fund for people affected by the fire. And we've done this DTO in partnership with the Umpqua Fisheries Enhancement Derby, and I want to thank them for their help on it. Our member companies and approaching 100 individual donors beyond our member companies have already contributed. We are getting, and I know other organizations are trying to help too, and we're all on this together. We're getting direct assistance to folks that we know of who were particularly impacted up there, and we're on a case by case basis helping them out, and we'll continue to as long as we've got money in that account.
So many people are jumping in here, Greater Douglas United Way, Rogue Credit Union, and others as well that are working on different pieces of this. You've got the Salvation Army folks serving meals to some of the evacuees that are in motels right now, and there's a lot of this going on.
It's heartening to see. I mean, the folks up at 138 Grill and Glide are doing a great job, and Nelly's Deli and Sutherland and you know, people all over the place, particularly with food. And there's immediate needs that people have, and then there's, you know, as the days go on, they're starting to focus on where are they going to live, how are they going to rebuild, how to go through the insurance process. They may have lost their work, you know, their wood shop burned or something like that. And so we're trying to help people in those situations. We've got about $30,000 out the door already. We've had some of our members really step up. I want to call out a couple of them in particular. Swanson Group at the top of that list, Douglas County Forest Products, Starfire Lumber, Pacific Power. We've got major commitments from Rosebrook Forest Products and Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians.
Wow. Well, one of the Forest Service folks who came in from out of state, who's helping more on the management side, told me a couple of days ago, and she's been all over the country dealing with fires over her career, that her staff, all from out of the area, is just amazed at how this community's rallied.
Yeah, there's heroes everywhere you look, every day. It's the silver lining behind this cloud of smoke. It's a wonderful community, you know, from law enforcement and search and rescue and DFPA. Those first responders were out there saving lives through the night. And the dispatcher, I want to call her out because I know everyone was listening to the scanner and I know how stressful that is. But then just everyday people. People saw a guy in the front office here who was working on the fire, and people with fire hoses and fire trucks. And it's an amazing community we live in.
And amazingly, a number of people who had skills but maybe weren't even professionals knew enough about the situation to go, okay, those people need that, and I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. From firefighting or just setting up a food camp or an evacuation center. Social media has been really fascinating to see how that works, literally reaching people, you know, who need to be evacuated but maybe don't have a landline or something like that. A lot of lives were saved by good friends and family here.
So if people want to help out through what you're doing with DTO and Umpqua Fisheries, how do they connect?
Just go to our website, dougtimber.org. There's a link to contribute. If you have someone who you think would be a good fit to get some help from us, just send me an email, matt@dougtimber.org.
All right, Matt Hill, Executive Director of Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.